Good afternoon to everyone again.
Good afternoon.
Going to be handing out two different documents here. The original Ministerial Code of Ethics has been adopted 1996, and then the proposed changes, which we're here in December 6th, so I'll go ahead and just send each one. Yes, please.
Two different ones?
Yes, this is one around this side and the other one
the other way.
If you will recall, this is a request from the administration to the council that was remanded to the Ethics Committee about going over the Ministerial Code of Ethics and that it needed to be updated and to cover pertinent aspects that were not in the document before. This was reviewed by Larry Darden as the legal counsel. And many are his edits. And the purpose of updating is to state up front what it means to be a minister of the United Church of God and the commitment that you will make, because certain unethical actions were carried out in the recent past, and we are hoping that this Ministerial Code of Ethics lays up front the commitment and how we are to conduct ourselves in the ministry.
So, was there one document or two?
There were two. Did
two
you?
Documents.
So
one didn't come around.
I just had the preamble.
Which one?
We just had the preamble on this side.
Well, the one sheet went that way. The two sheet was going this way.
Right.
Yeah, you guys had the first. You guys got the
draft. Oh, here, here it is. This was the second one.
Okay. This is the second one.
Okay.
This is the second
one. Okay. All right. Let's see. That was a different one.
Everybody have the two documents? Okay, so we have here 15 different points that we want to cover from the original one. Most are minor edits, but we did add one point. I'd like to, the preamble stays the same. Then, the second paragraph, we did change. He used to say, while serving as a minister, it's as serving as a minister of Jesus Christ and as an elder in the United Church of God, an international association, church or UCGIA. Further on in the document, I fully accept and agree to abide by the following goals, guidelines, commitments, and ethical principles. Then personal responsibilities. The first three points stay the same. The fourth is I will not use the office of the ministry to take advantage of any relationship or activity that may lead to a conflict of interest. We are adding the exploitation or manipulation of any member, and then, or any resultant personal or material gain. So we are just adding here that that includes not taking advantage of any member. If you have any questions, raise your hands as we go through this document. Yes, John?
In the bolded part,
at the top there, where it says as serving, I would suggest just capitalize the word, the letter S in serving and delete the word as. I don't think that preposition
serving
fits at the beginning of the sentence.
Yeah, just serving as.
So you don't need the first as, correct? Okay.
All right.
We'll start with serving.
Okay. Let's go on now to point five. It changes from if I display evidence, and it goes to if I become a substance abuser, have an addiction, or any diagnosable medical disorder,
mental,
disorder, I agree to seek professional counseling and care in order to recover and will seek to be relieved of my ministerial duties while undergoing treatment for the same. Yes, Gary?
I have a problem with it just being automatically will seek. I would probably put and may be relieved, because there may be some mental disorders right. that would not require a person who's getting help to be relieved of his duties. He may be relieved of them. I don't think if will seek it. I wouldn't make it an automatic that they have to seek it just because they have a mental disorder.
And if necessary.
And if necessary.
Will seek.
And if necessary, I don't know if he will be seek to be relieved. I would say if necessary, may be relieved. I don't. Many times, people in those conditions are not going to say to you, "I'd like to be relieved of my duties."
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I would think it'd be the ones who've discovered it to actually bring it to his attention. Look, you're receiving this type of treatment. You're in treatment center for alcohol. we feel it would be best for you at the present time to step out of the ministry, or just relieve you temporarily of your duties.
Okay.
I find it
right
to say he's going to run out and seek it. I just, if necessary, maybe.
Okay.
I think it's better.
Gerald?
Going along with what Gary said, is it be something along and realize it may be necessary to be relieved of my ministerial. Because this is coming from the person, the individual who's accepting this.
Okay. What would be the best wording then, Gerald? Gerald, did you have the best?
I just said, and I realize I may need to be relieved of my ministerial duties while undergoing treatment of the same.
Yeah.
Okay.
Usually.
Yes.
I would say that if he is an employed elder, I'll talk about the Ministerial Code of Ethics, his employer would demand that and prescribe the actions that need to take place. So he would virtually have no choice in the matter. It comes to a point in where his employer feels that way. This includes both elders that are employed and not employed. And there's a different, in a sense, standard to relief or not relief of an elder who's employed or not employed. Because if he's employed, then the employer, the church, would do whatever actions are necessary to either prescribe treatment, relieve him for leave of absence, or any other type of thing.
You want to put separate the you want separate from employee from non-employee?
Just wondering.
Well, Mario, I think this is what he's going to have to sign. That Gerald brought that to my attention. I was thinking along the line that Vic was too. It should be put in a way that he's saying this, that the person is saying this. What the employer does, knowing this, certainly would be the one who would relieve him of his duties or whatever. But all he's agreeing to is I may be relieved. That then would be the employer asking that. But it wouldn't be an automatic, because some of these he may be able to be treated. Certain methods, because mental disorders covers a whole book of the DSM-4. It's a huge book.
Well, I'm just saying is that from a practical standpoint, we had sent a number of people to treatment centers. And in some cases, was announced to the church that they were on leave of absence, you know, for a prescribed period of time. In some cases, up to, well, not a year. That was for usually other things, but a discipline. But they would be in treatment for a month or two, and it was very obvious that they were not in church, and it was they weren't on vacation.
Right.
That their employer had it in their hands.
Yeah. I think what Gary is saying, though, this is an elder personally signing, this
right.
is what I will agree to.
Right.
So you could just say, and if I agree to seek professional counseling and care in order to recover, and if necessary, however you, and if
what
necessary, may seek?
May be relieved.
May be relieved.
Or may be
and
relieved.
And I realize.
I realize.
I may need to be relieved or something.
He may not be in a seeking mode of thinking. He may have to.
As you say, and if necessary, I may be relieved of my ministerial duties.
Yeah, yeah. Put it that way. Yeah. So after the and, the comma, and if necessary.
And if necessary.
I may be relieved.
I may be relieved. Okay, now Larry Darden is here, so. Larry, we're here on personal responsibilities, point five.
Larry, I just felt that there's some mental disorders that might not require him to be relieved.
Certainly.
And that, so that the option is still there for his for the church, if he, even if he's an elder, the church could relieve him of his duties.
Certainly.
Mario?
Yes.
It's a very long sentence. If you put a period after recover and just start a new sentence, it may just be, just read a little bit better.
Okay. Think so?
Yeah, that's true. You can put a period there in order to recover, period.
Mm-hmm.
And then just start with, if necessary.
Yeah.
I will.
I may.
I may.
I realize I may.
If I necessary, I may be relieved.
I may. How did you word it, Gary? If necessary,
yeah.
I may.
I realize I may.
Be relieved.
Be relieved.
Yeah. You continue on with the sentence.
Yeah.
All right, let's go on to family responsibilities. Everything's the same except point two. We are just adding to love and honor her. So, let's see. No, it says, I will respect the unique role of my wife to love and honor and recognizing her as a partner in marriage and the family, and will seek to meet physical, spiritual, and emotional needs.
So shouldn't that be and recognize her instead of recognizing?
Recognize.
To love, honor, and recognize her.
Right. Yeah. Correct. Should be love, comma, honor, and recognize her as a partner. Correct. Then church and congregational responsibility. point three. We just add a little bit more to that. We're adding an intellectual growth. So it says, in my preaching and teaching responsibilities, I will give priority to adequate prayer, planning, preparation. And then we're adding an intellectual growth through conscientious study. So my presentations will be biblically based, historically and doctrinally sound, interesting, and clearly communicated.
Could we get something like spiritual growth? Would that include intellectual? Because there's nothing about spiritual growth.
That's what I was going to mention.
Yeah.
Though I don't have necessarily a problem with it myself, Gerald Fleury would. So preparation and spiritual growth.
Yeah.
What are conscientious?
What's the deal with Gerald Fleury?
He really attacks intellectualism.
Oh.
So we would replace
T.
Preparation and spiritual growth through conscientious study. So, sure, it includes the intellectual anyways.
Yeah, it does.
Any other comments? Yes, John?
You take the comma out after the word preparation.
Okay. All right, anyone else? We continue on here. The next point, number four. Says, I will keep confidential all matters discussed in a counseling setting unless the information is hazardous for the person being counseled or another person, such as a revelation of child sexual abuse or disclosures required by law. Gary seems to be fine with that. Yes, Mel?
Can you elaborate on the part that says unless the information is hazardous for the person being counseled? It might be, could do with being worded better, I think.
Right. Larry, did you have a, you put the word hazardous.
Yeah, well, I had it in mind such things as going to commit suicide tomorrow, you know.
Yeah.
He may need some immediate help.
Would any other word be?
For the person being counseled is what you're asking for, right?
Yes.
Harmful?
Harmful?
Is that what you're looking for?
For the person being counseled, the actual term. That's three words, right? You're looking for a better...
Right, for hazardous.
Unless the person being counseled is a danger to themselves.
Yes. Yeah.
Is a danger
to themselves.
Expresses it more clearly.
Yeah.
Chris?
It's not just themselves. And if they say, I'm going to murder somebody, I don't know, you keep that to
me. Or it says, or another person.
Oh, okay.
It says, or another person.
Yes, John?
Things are hazardous to, I think the correct preposition is the word to instead of for. Dangerous. Two instead of four. I don't think you can have something that's dangerous for somebody. Correct. Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, Scott.
Well, we're going to put a danger to themselves.
Okay.
Yes.
Mario, I think we could probably help this if we say, I will keep confidential all matters discussed in a counseling setting if a person being counseled expresses information dangerous or of a danger to himself or another person.
Unless the person.
I think the person being counseled, I will keep confidential all matters discussed in a counseling setting unless the person being counseled expresses information that is of a danger to himself or another person.
Or is required by law.
Then it says going on, such as a revelation of or disclosures required by law. Yeah.
Unless the person being counseled expresses...
Unless the person being counseled expresses information that is a danger to himself or another person. Such
okay.
as?
All right.
Is that sound better?
I would just change one word in there. Instead of is, I would say indicates. Because the information itself is in danger... And dangerous, but what it indicates is danger.
Okay. It's a danger. Indicates a danger to himself. Everybody okay with that?
How is that worded again? Then?
I will keep confidential all matters discussed in a counseling setting unless the person being counseled indicates.
Or shares information. What did we say? Shares.
Yeah.
Expresses information.
That indicates.
Indicating a danger to himself or others.
Indicating danger to himself or others. Okay. Let's go on now.
Then it's order disclosures required by law. Then or disclosures required by law. It stays there too?
Yeah, all that, the rest of it stays in there.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, point five. In my ministerial counseling, I will limit my advice and counsel to my area of expertise or formal training, and will refer members to other professionals for non-spiritual matters for which I am not credentialed.
I am not qualified?
You have to be credentialed.
Qualified, fine.
Qualified.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm fine with that one. Let's go on to point six. I recognize the influence I hold over those I counsel and will never take advantage of their vulnerability, such as not becoming sexually or romantically involved with them. I will arrange visits in order to avoid being alone with a woman who is not my spouse, and will practice the, quote, two-on-one rule when with another's children.
Is the word not needed there? Because you see, never up front. Will never take advantage of their vulnerability, such as...
Yeah, you're right, Robin. Yeah,
you got two, you got never not. I take out not, in my opinion.
Such as such as becoming sexually or romantically involved with.
Right. Yeah, take out the not.
Any other comments on that point?
What is that saying in the last sentence? Two on one rule with another children. Does that mean?
I don't understand that.
Two adults should be with a child, so that there cannot be any accusations later.
Larry, you want to elaborate on that?
We expressed this two-on-one rule in our policy with regard to guarding our children from sexual predators. It just means that if they're not your own children, that you have to have two adults present for one minor.
Wait, is this in a counseling situation?
At least two people there and not being alone.
Well, like if there's a problem at summer camp or something, you'd have to have two adults there, right?
Yeah, it's a counseling situation. It says that I will arrange visits. Where are we being alone with the one who's...
Yeah, I hold over those I counsel. I recognize the influence.
About I will avoid being alone with the woman.
I couldn't agree to that because I counsel a lot in my office. And if I open my door, I just tell them your story. But I don't do it where nobody's around. Okay. So I think you have to be in a safe place. We did this when this was originally crafted. We said there are circumstances when you are alone. There are circumstances.
Yeah.
You jeopardize your ministry if something evil or rotten happens.
Mm-hmm.
So that's we put the onus on the person to make sure. So you're better off not to. But there are times when people want to talk to you alone. Again, it doesn't mean alone in some clandestine, dark, secluded place, but it does mean sometimes they want to talk to you by yourself.
Yeah.
Have you say, I want to bring another man, and they already feel uncomfortable to talk to you in the first place, and you bring another man, and they'll clam right up. You won't be able to help them.
That's right. Yeah.
So you jeopardize. That's why we put this first one in. Now we went over this long and hard. That I remember when we were doing this, because I was on the committee, and David Hume was against it to start with, and then he came around and saw. Again, seek to be alone. We gave scenarios on that too. So I'm okay with what the other one says. I understand what it means, but you should try to arrange to make sure you visit not alone. But there are times when you would. It just depends on where.
Would being in isolation with a woman work better?
Somewhere like that.
That indicates you can be alone, but so long as you're not isolated.
Yeah, isolation sounds around. Better. Yeah, well, I will never visit with anybody if nobody else is around.
Being isolated. How about being isolated?
Alone. Mario?
Yes.
This, as Gary said, was crafted carefully. And for instance, I have two elderly widows, and sometimes I'd stop by their house one day, one lady, and to give her something, and she says, I need you to anoint me. What am I going to tell her? No, I'm not going to step in the door and anoint you.
That's right.
I anointed her and I left. I didn't give the appearance of evil. I wasn't there more than 5 minutes, you know. But I was isolated with her.
and you are alone for 5 minutes.
Well, it just says you in order to avoid being alone. It doesn't say anything about never being alone.
Okay. Yeah, it's well worded, I think. Yeah.
That's comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Comfortable.
That's good. I think.
Was there any correction to what we've written?
No, it's good.
Just being isolated.
Even as is, I will.
I will avoid in order to avoid being isolated with a woman who is not my spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the practice that to again. This means you will be avoiding the two-on-one with the children. Well, do you need a qualifier for that or not? We'll practice the two-on-one rule when with another's children.
Is it two-on-one or two-to-one? Two-to-one rule or two-on-one rule?
That should be explained too.
I think it's a two-to-one. Two, not on.
Two-to-one.
Yeah. Not two-on-one. It's like you're pounding them.
Basketball game.
Yeah.
Yes, John?
If we read this again, I will arrange visits in a manner that will avoid my being alone.
Well, we use the word isolated, so not alone.
Well, okay. But
arrange visits in a manner
to avoid
being isolated with a woman. Who is not my spouse and will practice the two-to-one rule when with another's children.
When with another's children. Give me an example or two. I mean, camp, you're never... I guess you can sneak off
the line, but camp would be the main thing, I guess.
Well, even when you have sports activities locally, you know, that if there's a problem involving a child, you wouldn't want to go by yourself to deal with that problem.
Okay.
You need to get one of the parents or at least another minister with you.
All right.
Yeah, we don't want to paint ourselves into a corner where... Yeah. The child comes up to you and you can't be around the child because you need to bring someone else.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
But we're talking about in a private place. We're not talking about out in the open. So,
And we'll practice or in a private place, we'll practice. Will that qualifier help? And in a prior place, we'll practice.
Let me offer this, Mario. After the phrase about a woman, not my spouse,
and you know, that part's very vague. We'll practice two to one.
Yeah. Rule.
When with another's children, what do we?
That's
sorry, Scott.
Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, maybe just say a woman who is not my spouse or with another's child, unless I'm accompanied by another adult. And that both explains it, defines it.
Right. And with another's child.
Yeah. Or with another's child, unless accompanied by another adult.
Doesn't have to be an adult.
It doesn't have to be an adult, yeah.
Maybe taking children home, a group of children home.
Another person.
You know, your child's with you? Or
yeah, well, another person.
The idea is that...
By another person?
There's not just one and you and the other person for the last stop, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what we have expresses that, though, Mary. I mean, that's very clear. We'll practice the two-to-one rule with another's children. It just means there has to be another person there. That's very clear.
How many want to accept Scott's edits about to avoid being isolated with a woman who's not my spouse and with another's child unless accompanied by another person.
Another adult.
No, it doesn't have to be adult. Larry just said that.
What Larry, if it's just another child?
Yeah, it can be your child.
So that's okay?
Yeah.
But if it's a really young child?
I'd leave it as it is. Yeah, I'll leave it as it is.
With another
leave it
person.
As leave it as it is. That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, let's move on.
Let's go to number 7.
Did we accept Scott's change?
seem to be a general agreement on that. Anybody have any objections?
No, I'm just
going to
leave it as it is.
Leave it as it is, yeah.
Scott agreed. Leave it as it is, Scott, do you think? two to one rule with another's children. That's still too big for you.
As an elder, that's actually the first time I can recall hearing of that term, so I think a lot of our elders
would not
know what it is.
Yeah, so Scott is saying, as an elder reads this, he may wonder, so maybe it does need to be clarified a little bit.
Would you read yours again, Scott, the way you had it, just the reading?
Let's see, another, a woman who is not my spouse, or with another's children, unless accompanied by another person.
Or could you say something like, we'll follow the sexual misconduct policy in dealing with children? Yeah. Or we'll apply? Yeah, that's good. Follow?
No, but maybe they haven't read that. This is a self-declaration of what the responsibility is right here. They might not get to the policy or say they get to the policy. This tells you right up front of them what you're signing.
I agree.
Okay.
Can make Scott's change then.
So then it's to avoid being isolated with a woman who is not my spouse or with another's child unless accompanied by another person. All right, let's go to point 7. This is the one that we added. It says, I acknowledge that all local congregations of UCGIA are, under our rules of association, a part of UCGIA, and that any and all physical assets, including local bank accounts used by or for those local congregations, even if acquired or deposited under using local funds or contributions, belong to UCGIA for this church's use as directed by the UCGIA administration. Consequently, I agree that should I leave or otherwise not remain as an elder in UCGIA or that local congregation, that I am not entitled to take and must return such assets. Any comments, questions? Gary?
The term church in the third line down, should that be capitalized? Are we talking about the overall church? Are we talking about the congregation?
You talk about where it says belong to UCGIA for this church's use?
It's this UCGIA church. It's,
yeah.
It's the corporation. It's for the parent company. He's in charge of it.
Okay, I guess I was thinking that the congregation's use, that UCGIA directs how they can use it.
In the first part, it says here, United Church of God International Association,
by the local
church or UCGIA, the three are the same.
Okay.
Any other comments? Okay, let's... Yes, John.
We need to revisit the last word in number 6 because by changing the word or, we now have children plural, and we've said that we could be with others' children but not child. So if we make the last word child, I think it would fit.
Or with another's child?
Yeah.
Unless accompanied by another person.
Right.
Yeah. Could I also suggest another minor change there?
Sure.
Another person could be a 10-year-old child.
Right.
Should we not side by another responsible person?
The example I was given in some of the other literature was that where you're dropping children off with a driver, they say it's not a good idea to be you and one child alone at the last drop off. So it could be another child who's even 10. The idea is they wouldn't be alone with one child.
Yeah. Could be yours, right there.
That does happen a lot. We have to drop off a bunch of children. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Just in number 7, in the second sentence, we're saying, the second line, we're saying that any and all physical assets. I wonder if the second last word should be just must return all assets instead of such assets, because such seems to modify the bank accounts and so on. Just saying all assets.
And that any and all physical assets, you want to...
No, at the very last part of the sentence, just must return such assets. Just say such, return all assets.
It must return all assets.
Yeah, just in case you've overlooked something in the little listing, I think.
Return all assets, including cows.
All right, are we ready to go on?
Mm-hmm.
Responsibility within the ministry. That remains the same. And then we have four bullet points. And the only thing that is modified is the fourth bullet point.
Where are you now? Page 3?
Yeah, I'm in page 3. You see the bullet points? Yes.
I'm sorry, there's one number 2, Mario. Sorry about that. Point number 3. You said appropriately communicating with the home office staff and the equivalent office in other countries. Office or office staff? Or is you're talking about staff in one situation and office in another.
Where
the equivalent. Point number 3, page number 2 at the bottom. Page number 2 at the very bottom.
And the other page, on the next page, Bob, it says leadership. On point number 3, look.
Responsibility within the ministry.
Yeah, the responsibility within the ministry.
Within
that's
the ministry.
Number 3.
Yeah,
we're going to cover that.
No. I'm just saying the word leadership can be put in there as well.
Well, no, I'm. What are you looking at? No, I'm looking at page number 2.
Oh, I know. But I'm saying it's in the same wording.
Oh.
In 3, be put into 2.
The equivalent office leadership.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Equivalent leadership.
Just put in the leadership.
Equivalent leadership.
Yeah. Mario, there is a standard terminology we use in circumstances such as this. If you go back to the one that Bob was referring to, point 3, it would say communicating with the office staff, and then brackets after it, or international equivalent.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the way we express that.
That's good.
You don't have to have put in other countries. It's just or international equivalent.
That's good, yep. Yep, that's good. Bill.
That's number 3 we're at?
Page number 2, yeah.
Number page 5. Number 2.
Bottom of page 2.
Yeah.
And I can apply point 3 over the page as well.
Okay, I see that.
Come up staff and then brackets or international equivalent.
Okay. And the international equivalent.
Mary, what does complaining up mean?
Again, Larry brought that up. Perhaps we can clarify that best.
Well, I think it's fairly self-explanatory. I'm sure the wording could be better. But the problem we've had in the past was that people were complaining to each other, not to authorities above them who could do anything about it, especially the home office. That was the concept. How it could be worded better, I'd leave to you gentlemen.
Which point are you on now?
Where are you?
Well,
point number 3.
Point 3?
Page 3.
Point 3. Okay. It says, I will seek to promote an atmosphere of respect for church leadership and unity within UCGIA and in the congregations where I serve by not being critical to members about church actions or administrative decisions. I will seek to suppress destructive gossip or hearsay by always, quote, complaining up, not down or sideways, and communicate directly with home office management team and the equivalent
or office, international equivalent.
Or international equivalent. To obtain clarity or to clear up any questions or accusations that are causing division. Yes, John?
I think the term complaining up would have quotes around it. But as a term, you're saying complaining up as a term, rather than the quotes being around all the variations as well.
Okay.
Or put them around each variation if you wanted to do that.
Yeah, I think it would work fine with just complaining up, not down or sideways, so remove the quotation marks at the end of sideways.
I don't like the thoughts or the comment of complaining up.
Yeah. By expressing
Can
my
we just
concerns.
Say that? By expressing concerns.
Right.
Directly to the home office. No matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be a
complaint. Yeah, it's a bit better to be clear.
So be by always expressing the concerns?
My concerns.
Expressing my concerns.
Strike always. Could be
strike always?
Yeah,
by expressing? Right.
No.
By expressing my concerns. By communicating and expressing my concerns directly with home office management.
Nobody.
Expressing my concerns.
By communicating. Directly with the home office management team. Do I see to obtain clarity or clarity? Okay.
By, you want to put communicating first?
I just got that complaining up, not down, sideways stuff.
Communicating and expressing.
By always communicating directly. Just leave it by always states you're not going to go down or sideways. By always communicating directly with the home office. I think that's what you need.
Well, Don had the problem with always. That means it's just absolute. So...
An elder may first want to talk to his pastor or regional pastor rather than directly to the home office.
Yeah. To the appropriate channels of communication. I mean, I'm just picking that up.
Okay. So it would read, I will seek to promote an atmosphere of respect for church leadership and unity within UCGIA and in the congregation or plural. Where I serve by not being critical to members about church actions or administrative decisions. I will seek to suppress destructive gossip or hearsay by communicating and expressing my concerns directly with home office management
with my supervisors.
Yeah.
I can open it up too.
With my supervisors.
That could be a pastor,
regional
pastor.
To obtain clarity or to clear up any questions or accusations that are causing division.
So you don't need the Orange National equivalent any longer.
Right.
Just be communicating with my supervisors to obtain clarity.
Okay.
Would you not want to, if you had a question, would you not want to communicate that with the person or persons involved?
You want to open it up that way?
I don't know. I'm just saying, why would you always take it to the, if you have a question about some action of Peter, why would you want to take it to a regional pastor? I would say, Peter may not be my supervisor, but I might want to take it directly. I'm just saying, to the person involved, I don't know how that would be put. If you say supervisor.
Okay. I have a thought.
Yes.
I will seek to suppress destructive gossip. So that's one thing. I will seek to suppress destructive gossip. So you may say to the church member, let me clarify that for you, or let me find out what's going on, I'll get back with you. So you'll attempt to suppress it and communicate directly with my supervisors to obtain clarity or to clear up any questions or accusations that are causing division. You tell a member, you try to suppress the gossip and you'll communicate with your supervisor to find out what's going on. That's the thought I have, where it's you would suppress the gossip, you would talk to the person, you would seek clarity, and then you would talk to you. But that's not allowing the lateral like you're thinking, though.
Yeah, well, how they would seek clarity from the individuals where they see difficulties, or how do you put that? Clarity from the person
I will seek to suppress destructive gossip by going to directly to the individuals involved.
Yes. To, yeah. To the,
or?
Yeah, or
my supervisor.
Or my supervisor.
Destructive gossip by going directly to the individuals involved.
Yeah, that's Matthew 18 right there. Yeah. Otherwise, we're
excluding
that. Or
their supervisor.
You can't exclude that.
Yeah, that's good.
Or?
By going to my supervisor.
Communicating with my supervisor.
Okay.
No, one thing.
All right. Anything else, John?
I would just say
first
that
first sentence needs to be reworked because if you get past the first line there, the congregations where I serve, being critical to members isn't the only place. If you said instead, I serve by not sharing criticism with others, it's not just members, but not sharing criticisms with others about church issues of which I disagree. Because you don't want it just to be church actions or administrative decisions. You want it to be church issues. You know, we just shouldn't be critical to others of church issues.
I'd like to ask, Mr. Chairman, would you like us to continue or just table this and then continue later?
We're almost done. Yeah, we're almost done. How much time longer would it take, do you think?
Depends on how many more changes we want to do. Yes.
Well, are you sure they're done, John? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. Just about supervisors. Supervisor is a word for somebody who's over you more employment-wise. Superior could be when you're an elder and you have a pastor in a church and he's your superior because you're under him, but you're not employed by him. So I prefer the word superior over supervisor. That would cover both elders employed and not employed.
Okay. This one has to be done. We might as well finish it. We're almost finished. Okay. Just move as quick as you can.
What you could do, Mario, is work with John on his comments.
Right. Got what to give tomorrow so that it'll be all cleaned up?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll do that.
You could send it to everybody tonight, actually, and ask for any further comments. That would save time tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay, so now we go down to the fourth bullet point.
Mario, before you do,
yes.
I think you need a subhead here. You're jumping from responsibility within the community to a totally different section of the document. So maybe a subhead such as
therefore,
responsibility toward the governance of UCGIA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I think that isolates it, makes it more clear.
That's a good. That's a good suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
So it says here in the first point, fundamental beliefs. Nothing's changed there. The purpose, mission, the constitution, and then the fourth bullet point. So one that we're instead of saying uphold, because we already say I affirm my commitment to uphold the following things. It is the decisions of the General Conference of Elders, the Council of Elders, and the UCGIA administration. This means that as a UCGIA minister, for the sake of unity, I agree to comply with the lawful decisions of the GCE, COE, and administration, even if I am not in agreement with the same, so long as they are in effect. At the same time, as a member of the GCE, I reserve the right to respectfully seek a change in GCE, COE, or administration decisions in accordance with the provisions contained in the United Church of God's governing documents and or GCE or council practice or precedents. That's basically the same thing we had for the Council of Elders Code of Ethics that we added. Any comments about that? All right.
This thing right here, I don't know, it bothers me in the sense of I could be in total agreement with fundamentals of belief be as converted as Job, Daniel, and Noah, or whomever else, and yet may not agree fully with something. So does that mean, what does that mean in actual practice, that you'll just be quiet about it, right?
Yeah. Well, it says you have a right to do it, but within the governing documents.
I mean, to grind through all of that, I mean, in some cases it'd be, I don't know, it just, I hate to see someone's conscience violated. I mean, a man's heart is his home, and there he must abide. And if you begin to, I don't know, it just bothers me.
It depends upon your forum. It depends upon who you share this with.
Yeah.
If it creates unrest in others, then that's not good.
It's because even here, when we make council decisions, some vote for something that isn't approved, and what is approved, that doesn't mean you automatically agree with everything, but you do respect what has been voted and decided. And then if you want to change it, there is a way of doing it.
Yeah, I understand that. No problem with the kinds of things. They do not violate what you are spiritually convicted of in the deeper recesses of your heart, kind of thing. I just want to express I'm concerned about that.
Okay.
And I think, Don, that we all probably feel that way, that there may be things. So I would say each minister and elder, as long as he's not sowing rebellion or division or causing a trouble, would need to abide by his conscience.
Yeah.
But you know, we all probably have certain conscience issues. I don't think United Form of Government is perfect by any means, but I agree to accept it and cooperate. And if I need to step aside or just remain quiet, I'm willing to do that. You know, if it's an issue I cannot conscientiously support.
Right.
So, yeah.
Let's go to First John and then Scott.
I fully concur with what Dr. Ward is saying. In the second line of this bullet point, after the word comply, towards the end of the second line, could we add, comma, conscience permitting?
Where are you, John?
Fourth bullet point, second line, towards the right. I agree to comply, comma, conscience permitting, with the lawful decisions.
You just gutted the whole thing by doing that.
That's,
yeah, because if your conscience does not comply, yeah, then you said you're not going to comply. If your conscience doesn't permit it, you're not going to comply.
Well, I can't comply if my conscience doesn't allow me to, can I?
Yeah, but
then you'd have to leave the organization.
Yeah, then you go on the very way.
Acknowledge authority.
I see. Gotcha.
And it says, even if I am not in agreement, yeah, I agree to comply. And that's my understanding of how we operate. I doubt if we all are 1,000 or 100% agreement in absolutely everything. But that's okay. I agree. I don't want to cause unity, division, and so I will abide by my conscience, but not cause trouble within the organization because of that. That's how I'm thinking of it. I don't know. Is there some other...
Maybe if we understand what is the intent behind this, is it because some people have not followed lawful decisions of the council? I agree to, because it says I agree to comply with the lawful decisions of GCE, COE, and administration, even if I'm not in agreement with them, so long as they are in effect. So well, I mean, what does that mean? What does the word comply mean? Does it mean tacit, just say nothing wrong about it, or does it mean I'm going to go along with it? Does it mean I'm going to do it? You know, I mean, the word comply could...
How about I agree to, because I'm thinking, Gary, look at what we've just been through with so many men that I thought accepted United's system or form of...
Right.
We know it's not perfect. And I've never agreed with every single decision that has gone on. But, I mean, we had a lot of ministers that decided they were not going to accept our form of governance. They rejected it. and that created great division in the church. So it's...
Well, I see that in number, the third bullet, though, the Constitution, bylaws, governing structure.
Well, if I can comment from a historical perspective, I think it was December a year ago, if I'm not mistaken, that the council first started addressing this whole issue, and we probably spent more time on this one paragraph than the rest of it put together, and came up with the word comply, because the original, I think, said agree or something, and we said, yes, we will not agree, but we will comply. We will go along with it for the sake of unity, and have the out of working within our established procedures and so on, if we disagree,
as long as it's
lawful. As long as it's lawful.
I would say that one way to do it is I agree not to undermine the lawful decisions. In other words, taking it maybe from a negative, I agree not to undermine. In other words, you don't agree with it, but you can't cheerlead for it. You're saying, what does comply mean? But I just won't tear it apart, undermine, subvert.
I think that's good.
Bill?
Could I suggest you take the whole sentence out? You said here, as a minister serving in the United Church of God and the International Association, I affirm my commitment to uphold the decisions of the General Conference of Elders, GCE, the Council of Elders, COE, and UCGIA administration. At the same time, as a member of the GCE, I reserve the right respectfully in such and such, such and such. You've already asked them to uphold. They're going to sign and then say they're going to uphold it. I think sentence two was superfluous.
Chris had a comment.
I was just going to suggest possibly accept instead of comply.
Yes, John.
I think I appreciate everybody's concern here, and we're probably talking about something that'll never happen. I know of nothing that I would not be willing to comply with, and I can't imagine anything. But by signing this, I'm stating I will always comply, even if you tell me that, we're going to go to some law that's against in the Bible. It can't happen, it won't happen, we know it won't happen, but I'm just saying you're asking for a permanent guarantee of things. I don't know what's going to come in the future. And perhaps by eliminating that sentence, we just desensitize that a little bit, but at the same time lose a little bit of them.
Yeah. Is there a difference between uphold and comply? Because you're asking them to do both things. You're asking them to uphold in the opening sentence, and then further down you're asking them to comply.
Unconditional compliance.
Yeah, I may add also in this point, it is also there because some people that they complied and then they went ahead and sought to respectfully seek a change, and they were accused of being unethical. And so this clears up that this is a legitimate way. If you do not agree with something, there is a mechanism to change it where it's legitimate, it is ethical. That's where the focus is, to protect the rights of GCE members to, if they don't agree with something, but to go through the process and not to go through a rebellion to get their way. Any comments, Mr. Darden?
No, you expressed it just very well. I don't know if this paragraph is expressed that well, but as I say, it was taken out of the same playbook, the Code of Ethics for the Council, to try to clarify the idea that you would uphold the decisions of the council. Perhaps to the general ministry we could modify it, but that was where we took the language.
Yeah, to me it's just laying it down. You have a right to change it, but we abide by the rules.
I think we're not
talking here about sin and things like that. We're talking about the governing documents of United. If we decide to do something, you have the right to respectfully seek a change, but you don't have the right to rebel and to say, well, I'm not in agreement, I'm going to get my buddies together and I'm going to leave, because that is not within governing documents that we have. Yes.
Well, I see that's still being left in. The only thing you're dropping out is that means Greece to comply, even if I'm not in agreement. But if you read it through, it says the division, the decisions of General Conference of Elders, GCE, Council of Elders, COE, and the UCG administration, I agree to uphold those. At the same time, as a member of the GCE, I reserve the right to respectfully seek a change in accordance. So nobody's dropping that part out. I think the only part dropping out would be that sentence that's complicated, this means. That was the part that seemed to be dropped out.
Because it says, for the sake of unity. That's the reason it's in there. For the sake of unity, what do we all then agree to? As an elder, a minister, in UCGIA, for the sake of unity, I agree. Maybe it's just the wording. We're not trying to violate anyone's conscience. I stayed in the Worldwide Church of God under the Armstrongs not because I agreed with many, many things that went on, but for the sake of unity. I stayed in the Worldwide Church of God when I felt he was wrong and his son were wrong on many things. And I'm still here today because I endured that, even though many things were against my conscience in the Worldwide Church of God.
Yeah. Gerald had a point first, and then...
Denny, to address that, what if the fourth bullet began with, see, I am affirm my commitment to uphold, fourth bullet, for the sake of unity, the decisions of the General Conference. You put that for sake of unity at the very beginning of that point. Mm-hmm. And that brings in, I think, what you're trying to address. And then that possibly that second sentence can come out. Because I agree with Bill. I think that second sentence can come out.
Okay. For the sake of unity?
For the sake of unity, at least let's get that in there after what we've been through.
Don?
Well, I agree with what Denny just said about Worldwide and many decisions there, but at the same time, I was not asked to sign a document in which I said I agreed with everything and would not. I mean, we all talked about things. All of us talked about things that we didn't agree with and Worldwide. We could name personalities, events, and a lot of things. But I never signed a document that said I would never talk about this kind of thing. I understand the part about maintaining unity and not undermining that kind of thing, but I'm talking about a matter of what I'm talking about goes the level of conscience and something that I'm convicted of that is right in the spiritual moral sense as opposed to administrative decisions. I can live with most administrative decisions. I have for many years. I think it's an individual thing with each person. As far as I'm concerned, I can move on, but, you know.
Okay.
I just wanted to clarify that.
All right. Just one last, Mr. Gordon, do you think this second sentence is still necessary for clarity's sake, or?
Well, I thought so. I do like Victor's language instead of complying without undermining.
Agree not to undermine?
Not to undermine.
Would that help out?
Why
instead
don't
of comply? Because I think the word comply is the one that people have problems with, that means tacit agreement of something that you don't
agreement
really accept. But at least you're not going to undermine the organization because of that, because then everybody can have license, because nobody's going to be 100% in agreement with everything we do. Yes.
Mario, for the sake of unity, is put at the beginning and could be removed from the second sentence because it's already been stated.
Correct. All right. Almost done, gentlemen.
So what do you
Yes, it's for the sake of unity, the decisions of the General Conference of Elders, GCE, the Council of Elders, COE, and the,
and the administration.
And the UCG administration. Yeah, this means that as a UCGIA minister, I agree not to undermine the lawful decisions, and then it goes on and everything else stays the same. We might have to do a change in the COE code of ethics because of this, because we changed it. Okay.
Do we have a sentence?
Anything? Second thoughts?
I'm thinking back to the debate on the Elders Forum about the home office relocation to Texas. Anyone, if we use the criteria of undermine, anybody who posted on Elders Forum in opposition to that could be nailed for violation of truth, in my opinion.
But we would comply. If it were our job to move the boxes, we would comply.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd rather get the document right than have to get it right away. Okay, let's go on to the next because we have a lot on the docket. Do you want to finish here and I can just write up the rest because it's going to take us another...
That would be helpful.
Okay. That's enough, gentlemen, and tomorrow we'll continue on.